Godliness with contentment, part two. Godliness with contentment, part two. Amen. Can you hear me, church? Is this good? Okay, great. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, I forgot something. We'll be talking about the covenant from next Sunday, right? Under the old covenant, Moses taught a whole lot. And there is something that the Jewish people normally do up till today. There's a special way they greet one another. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, that Moses lived 120 years. He was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, neither was his natural force abated. So Jewish people, when they greet shalom, this is how they greet. They say, shalom, may you live up to 120 years like Moses. That's how they greet. Imagine you meeting 10 people every day, and that's how you confess the word over them. Shalom, may you live up to 120 like Moses. And someone else is also sowing the same words into your life. Shalom, may you live up to 120 like Moses. Would that be nice? How many of you like to live long? Very good. So, don't walk around this morning. I wanted you to do it earlier, but we're already seated. So, stretch your hand to your neighbor and say, shalom. That's too weak. You are prophesying. I want to hear your shalom. Say, shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. If you have another neighbor, reach out to another neighbor and say, shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. If you have a third neighbor, say to them, shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Amen. Let's make it a habit. It's a good habit. And put your faith in it when you say it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Last week we read verse 1 to 21, but I don't have that much time today, and I want to wrap this up. And I have quite a number of points to make. And so we're going to just focus on a few verses. Go to verse 5. And we're going to be in verse 5 all the way to verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 5 all the way to 12. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Paul wrote this to Timothy, his son in the faith, the pastor of the largest church in the world at that time. He said, there are certain people you should not keep company with. They are men of corrupt minds. One of the powerful tools in the hands of the devil when he wants to destroy a person, when he wants to destroy someone's life, is to get their minds to be corrupted. How does he achieve that? He gives them a set of thoughts that are twisted, not straightforward. Twisted thoughts. They may look okay on the surface, but when you think beneath, you find out that those thoughts do not comply with the word of God. I'll give you an example. People say, believing is seeing. Oh, sorry. They say, seeing is believing, right? When I see, I will believe. But it is the opposite of the word of God. Logically, it makes sense. Seeing is believing. I mean, when you see, you believe now. You say you have a company, right? Let me see your company. When I see the company, then, oh, really, you have a company. Seeing is believing. It logically makes sense. But spiritually, when you're walking with God and you want anything from God, you don't see first before you believe. You believe first before you see. So in the things of God, and God is always right. Are you getting what I'm saying? No matter what appeals to our logic, God is always right. Believing precedes singing. You have to believe God before you see the miracles, before you see the breakthroughs, before you see whatever you are trusting Him for. In John chapter 12 and verse 40. Quickly, can we go there? And then we'll come back here. I'm talking about men of corrupt minds. Now, Jesus said something. John 12, is that 12:40? 11:40, please. John 11. Media, please don't slow me down. I beg you. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, did I not say to you, if thou wouldest, what? Talk to me, church. If you would what? Believe. Then thou shouldest what? See the glory of God. It's a law in the realm of the spirit. In any area of your life where you need God, you want to see God in your ministry, you want to see God in your family, you want to see God in your finances, you want to see God in your health, you believe first. Believe first before you see. So seeing is believing. It's good in the world, but it doesn't hold water in the kingdom of God. So if you want anything from God, you have to believe before you see. But there are people today who hold on to that thought pattern that seeing is believing. That's corruption. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you build your life based on that kind of philosophy or that kind of principle, you are a person of a corrupt mind. There are certain people who say, if you claim you are serving God, if truly you are a child of God, why are you not rich? Does God oppose our being rich? No. God wants us rich. But are we all rich now? Right now. Including those of you in the university, are you rich right now? In the realm of the spirit, you are. But in terms of physical, material things, you are not. Majority of you don't have a car yet. You don't have a house of your own. You're not even feeding yourself. Your parents are still feeding you. But you are in a stage in your life. And at this stage, pursuing prosperity and riches shouldn't be your focus. At this stage, you are laying a foundation for the future. So if somebody looks at you now and tells you, now, Marvelous, you say you are in medical school, you're a medical student, you're not rich, and you say you are born again, you are a poor man. And being poor, nobody should trust your loyalty to God. No, a preacher said, no man should trust the holiness of a poor man. And he gave a logical explanation. He said the reason is because he doesn't have money. That's why he cannot carry girlfriends, because he can't afford it. You can't afford to buy a ticket for a lady, take her to Dubai and put her in a house in Dubai. He said, so because you cannot afford it yet, we now say you are holy. He said, you cannot trust the holiness of a poor man. And people were shouting in that meeting in Abuja. I looked at a man who does not know God. Does God care about the poor? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. I want to do some teaching, so flow with me. And please, I beg you, don't be on your phone. If you're in this service, keep your phone in your pocket and listen. That's why you're in church. After church, go back to your phone. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Luke chapter 4. It was quoting Isaiah 61. Does God care about the poor? If he doesn't care about the poor, why would he send his son to come and preach the gospel to the poor? Number two, when you say people are poor, you are judging them by the chapter of their lives, the stage of their lives where they are in currently. You don't know tomorrow. Because when God was writing his plan for each person's life, he did not invite you to a meeting. You don't know God's plan for me. So that I'm driving a Volkswagen Beetle today, and you are driving a Mercedes G-Wagon, and you look at me as a poor man, you are making a mistake. Because you don't know what I carry, and you might be in the chapter 45 of your life, while I'm still in the chapter 23 of my life. And by the time I get to my chapter 25, you never know that maybe even your G-Wagon will be a toy in my garage. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are people I follow. There are ministers I listen to. I don't follow them because of the glory I see today. I follow them because of their story. And I love it when people share their story. That's why when I preach many times, I also share my story. Because your story will inspire me. Your glory will intimidate me. Don't always go after the glory. Hear their story. The secret of successful men, great men, is in their story, not in their glory. So you see a man who is flying private jet all over the world and you want to kill yourself. And you start praying to God to give you a private jet. That's a stupid prayer. Go to that man and hear his story. Sir, did you ever grapple with poverty in your life? Was there a time that you had nothing? I don't go to rich kids, spoiled kids. You've never suffered in your life. You've never used your faith for anything. What do you have to tell me? And I know some of them. Today they are apostles. They call themselves apostles. You don't have a story. You have never used your faith to cure headache. Everything you are preaching and singing is only theory. You have never been there. Have you ever been in trouble? You've never been in trouble. How can you tell someone in trouble how to get out of trouble? Experience is not the best teacher. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. But experience is a good teacher. Are you getting what I'm saying? In America, they have a saying. They said, I've been there, done that. There ain't nothing you can tell me. There's nothing you can tell a man who has been there. What will you tell Daniel? He's been to the lion's den. He's back. If Daniel tells you God delivers, should you listen? Talk to me. Should you listen to him? Has he been delivered before? Proof. You have a proof of your ministry. Paul said to Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. And sometimes God is preparing us. I'll go there, but let me also finish up what I was saying about that man. Because these are some people that some of you follow. So that you don't end up committing suicide. After serving God for 8 years and you are still not able to afford a new car. So you don't judge yourself and call yourself a failure. You are not a failure if you have Christ. All the material things you want, they will still come. It's only a matter of time and faith. Time and faith. Whether you like it or not, there are certain things that will not come until their due time. God deals with due time or due season. Galatians 6:6. What does it say? Can you give that to me? Go to verse 9. Go to verse 9. I don't want to go to verse 6. Verse 9. Go to verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing, when you pray, is it well-doing? When you read the Bible, is it well-doing? When you study your books in school, is it well-doing? When you reach out to the poor, is it well-doing? When you preach the gospel to your mates, is it well-doing? When you fast, is it well-doing? Now, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in need season, when we need it, we shall reap if we faint not. Is that what it says? What did he say? If you are not due, you are not due. A woman is not due at 5 months of pregnancy to give birth. If she tries it, she will give birth to a lizard or a lizard-looking creature. That's why they ask, is she due? 9 months. God put it in motion. We were not there. Why did God choose 9 months? Only God knows. He chose it, period. Why did he choose 12 months to govern a year? If you like, you can say 13-month calendar. It's your cup of coffee. God said 12 months. Because number 12 is the number of God's government.
Some people are poor today, they will not be poor tomorrow. Some people you think are rich today, it's just a matter of time. They are coming back to poverty. Because they lack the principles to maintain and sustain the blessings that God has brought into their lives. Have you forgotten the story of the young man called what do you call that story now in Luke? Luke 17, I think it is. The guy that collected everything from his father, the prodigal son. When he collected everything, was he rich? Immediately had a lot of money. He traveled to a far country, the Bible says. He got a visa, bought a flight ticket, he relocated, jackpot. And in that country, he was going to nightclub every night. Oh, Friday, time to party. And he was jamming with the babes in the clubs and the pubs. He was the big boy. Yeah. Because it changed all the father's stuff that the father gave him to Forex. He changed all his Naira to USD. And he had a lot of USD to spend. He was going from club to club in the US. Or maybe he traveled to Australia. A very far country. And he wasted everything when he was done. The Bible says he had nothing left. He had to join himself to a citizen of the country. You see why many times Nigerians like to marry citizens? It's not only Nigerians. It's from the Bible. He joined himself to a citizen of the country. But this time, to work under him. And the guy put him in charge of pigs. Now, I don't have any job for you, but I got some few pigs. Can you feed them? What am I doing? And he was feeding from the pig's feed. He was that broke. One day he came to himself and said, oh boy, come, listen. How many of my father's servants back home have enough bread to eat and to spare? And I'm languishing here in poverty and in hunger. Let me go back to my father's house. I will beg my father. I'm not worthy to be called a son anymore. Make me like one of your servants. Let me work under you because I'm going to get monthly pay. And I know the food I will get. Look, food is a major, major need in life. The guy wasn't looking for luxury anymore. Do you think he came back home for luxury? Come on, talk to me, church. This is an interactive church. iChurch, interactive. That's the meaning of iPhone, interactive phone. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you with me, church? Do you think he came back for father's Bentley? Dad, you know, you forgot to give me Bentley and you have four. I'm entitled to one. Do you think he came back for designer clothes? He came back for food. Food. Because he said in that scripture, how many of my father's servants have bread? Bread, he said. He didn't say clothes. He didn't say cars or horses. Bread enough to eat and to spare. Break down the necessities of life. Number one is food. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if your government says, our policies are working. My friend, you're speaking English. Nigerians are saying, how does that translate to food on our table? We can afford rodo. We can afford tomatoes. Before you start talking about fuel, it is someone who has eaten that will be thinking, I want to buy fuel in my car. And the man said, the more spiritual you are, the richer you should be. Something like that. I want to submit to you that teaching is erroneous because we are at different stages in our lives. There are some of you that have testimonies in this church. You knew the way you were when you joined the church. And if I were to talk to you one-on-one, you knew your bank account balance the day you joined the church. Today, you know what God has done. If I were to judge you based on the way we met the first day, I would call you a poor man. But today, can I call you a poor man? So don't call anybody poor. Don't despise people. Because you don't even know tomorrow. And then number two, the clocks of our lives were not wound the same way. Even if we are born the same day from the same womb. Twins don't have the same destiny. That's why the Bible encourages us to not compare ourselves with others. The way vanity is dealing with the church in Nigeria, may God help us. I am telling you, as a minister, if I want to impress people and I get invited to a program, a conference, big one, and I begin to tell them, you know, I was in America last month. I was talking to the mayor,
I am telling you, the attitude of the listeners will change. But if I say I was in Labo last month, and from there to Gbekuba, we were there preaching the gospel to the poor, how many people would be excited about that? Oh, America! Oh, America! America is not heaven. Are you with me? Are there miserable people in America? Ah, there are more than the miserable people in Nigeria. You might not believe me. You can be rich and be miserable. Why would people like Whitney Houston kill themselves, commit suicide in the hotel? Have they ever won Grammy? Plenty Grammys. They've got to the top of their career. They've seen the world. They've eaten dinner on a yacht. They've partied on a yacht. I mean, people go for boat cruise. They go from America, from Fort Lauderdale in Florida to Lima, Peru. Have you had that kind of cruise before? What's your problem? Some of you, they take you to nightclubs. I'm a big girl, stupid. Have you been taken on a boat cruise on the high seas for 1 month? You are on water and the DJ is slamming 24/7. You are eating seafoods. You know what I mean? But put all of that together, minus Christ, is equal to destruction. Solomon saw it all. He said, let's go to the conclusion of the matter. It's all weariness of the flesh and vexation of the spirit. It's vanity upon vanity, and all, I summarize, is vanity. Let us not be born again to be chasing vanity. Let's chase godliness. Let's chase Jesus. Let's chase after righteousness. That's why churches are multiplying in Nigeria, and ungodliness is multiplying. Pastors are scamming people. Some of you know my story. I'm fighting one and he's going to jail. I prophesied it on this altar. We were in court a few days ago. I looked at him. Oh, hello. He was looking so down and out, tired. I had the latest gist from the grapevine. The guy he chose, appointed as the pastor in his so-called church. You put up a church to get unsuspecting people to come. And you come up with a business scheme. They put money. You scam them. Now they are broke. They don't have anything. But you keep the church running because you're scamming other people online. And when they ask who you are, you say, I'm a reverend. And I have a church. They say, okay, where's your church? You give them the YouTube link to your church. And they see a church running. They believe, oh, he's a man of God. He's a man of God. The latest gist is that they are so blasted that now some people are contributing money to give transportation fare to the resident pastor to travel back to Ekiti because business has closed. Any house not built by my father will have to crumble. Are you getting what I'm saying? I told him, this fight is not just for the money, my money or my client's money. This fight is a fight of righteousness against evil. You are evil. You are scam. You can be a scammer. I don't have any problem with you. That's who you are. That's what you do. But for you to be scamming in the name of the Lord, our Father, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, honored be thy name. The name of the Lord is hallowed. The name of the Lord is holy. It is to be reverenced. It's so holy that the Jewish fathers, over time, they could not pass down the pronunciation of God's name to their generations because they called his name quietly. The pronunciation was lost. YHWH. How do you pronounce YHWH? That's God's covenant name. That's Yad He Vav He. Thank God for revelation. Thank God for men who decided, look, we're going to dig out this thing. That thing called Yahweh, they put A and E. A after the Y and E after the W so that it could be pronounceable. Because there is no way you can pronounce Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh.
Your name is Jewish. No. The name was so hallowed. They pronounced the name quietly. Quietly. And the generations that were coming, because they didn't hear the pronunciation, they didn't know how to pronounce the name. Check Bible history. The name is so holy. The scribes that wrote the Bible, especially the Old Covenant, when they got to the name Yad Hey Vavay, which is capital letter L, little capital O-R-D, little capital O-R-D, that's Yad Hey Vavay, that's also the name transcribed Jehovah. Each time they got to Yad Hey Vavay, they would go, stop what they are doing. They wanted to write the name of the Lord. They would go and have their bath. Come back. Now pick a new pen, never used before. They will use it to write Yad Hey Vav Hey. After writing it, they break the pen and then they continue what they were writing. Imagine if in one chapter, like Isaiah, I think maybe 45, the name appears like 16 times. Whoever wrote that chapter must have gone to have his bath 16 times. I must have broken 16 pens. Because the pen you use to write the name of the Lord, you don't use it to write any other thing. That's how hallowed the name was treated. Someone is now using the name to steal from people, to defraud people, to cause pain in their lives. People sold their cars, sold their lands, sold their property to give you money because you're a man of God. And you think God will be quiet and look away from that? This guy speaks the word. That's why I'm not moved by people that quote 1,000 scriptures in one message. Quoting it is not the same as living it. Did you hear what I said? Am I in an I church? Don't be moved, man of God. Don't be moved. Don't be moved by charisma. A lot of them are motivational speakers. They are not preachers of righteousness. How do you know the difference? They don't live what they say. They motivate your head. But Christ is not in their lives. Look at their lives. Any church where the pastor is sleeping with church members, run away. He's not safe. It will be your turn one day. And if there's no girl to sleep with, there's a boy. Inasmuch as there's somewhere to put something, you are done for. Big church in London, massive church, one particular manager is in prison now. He was defiling and sodomizing two boys, one 14-year-old, the other 16, a Nigerian pastor. The annual turnover of his church at that time was about 1.3 million pounds. Lot of money. And he was sodomizing boys in the church. They're all over the world, but their secrets are coming out now. Business will soon close. Some of their shops are closing. I beg you, gain is not godliness. I was talking about men of corrupt minds, which led me to all of this. The moment the devil is able to corrupt your thinking, he has corrupted your life. Because everything we do flows from our thoughts. Your thoughts inform your words inform your actions inform your habits inform your lifestyle. That's why Proverbs 23 and verse 4 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Are you with me, church? Paul warned Timothy. He said, Timothy, he said, sir, yes, sir, withdraw yourself. From such, withdraw. Withdraw. Don't continue to be their friends. When you come in contact with people that have corrupt mind, walk away from them. Stop picking their calls. Don't call them again. Don't chat with them. You are not keeping malice. The Bible says, withdraw yourself from them. Withdraw. 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 It's a safe place to withdraw and be in the presence of the Lord. One of them has been trying to talk to me from the UK, and I'm not picking his calls. Sent a long message. I said, I'm busy now. Maybe next week when I have time. Next week has not come yet. From him, I have withdrawn. Because I've seen his lifestyle. I've seen the pattern. Please, observe patterns when you're dealing with people. I'm not saying people don't make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But when your weakness is not dealt with and is repeated over time, it becomes wickedness. You keep doing the same thing, hurting other people. in as much as money is coming to you and you are hurting people, you know what I call them? Anywhere belefis. Anywhere belefis, that's where they go. Anywhere there is money, whether it's legit money, illegit money, you just want to make money anyhow. We're not here for money making, church. Someday we're going to go back to the one who sent us here. How have you lived your life? Some people believe the moment you have gain, you must be godly. That preacher, if you know the Bentley is driving, if you know the Rolls Royce, if you know, that's what they're after. If you know the house where he lives, if you know how many houses he has in Nigeria, God must be using that man. No! Paul said they are supposing gain to be godliness. They are supposing that gain is godliness, meaning gain is not godliness. 1 Timothy 6:5, gain is not godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain, but gain is not godliness. If God is not with me, why is he blessing me? He can bless you. He blesses everybody. The good, the bad, the ugly, the wicked. God blesses everybody. There are general blessings of God. But does he approve of your lifestyle? No. What are the benefits of this combination of godliness with contentment? Go to verse 6. Verse 6. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is what? Church, godliness with contentment is what? Let me tell you about the benefits and let me tell you how to walk in godliness with contentment. And that my job is done. Number one, I mentioned last week, I'll go over it very quickly. Number one, it brings promotion. The combination of godliness with contentment brings promotion. It brings promotion. Church, promotion comes from God. Psalm 75, verses 6 to 7. The book of Psalms, 75, verses 6 to 7. Please, media, I beg you. You have to be very fast. God bless you. Let's read everybody. One, two, go. For promotion, one, two, go. Read everybody. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one, sets up another. Promotion comes from God. Let God promote you. Promotion comes from God. If you need promotion, go to God. Don't go elsewhere. Go to God. You are living on a particular level that you don't like. Maybe you don't have enough, or you have just enough. There is room for more. Go to God, because promotion comes from God. It doesn't come from your location. From the east or the west, it comes from God. Promotion doesn't come from your job. Promotion doesn't come from your business. Promotion doesn't come from your parents. Promotion doesn't come from the country where you live. There are poor people in the richest countries of the world, and there are rich people in the poorest countries of the world. Promotion does not come from any country. Promotion comes from God. Are you with me? I've seen homeless people in America. Homeless in America. For you to be homeless in Nigeria, you must be a bad person. To be homeless in Nigeria. You know why? We believe in family. If they kick you out of where you live, there is a brother somewhere to go to. There's a sister somewhere. There is a cousin. There's an auntie. There's an uncle. If all of them now desert you, then you are not a good person. You may be stranded for a night. There'll be a friend somewhere now. But overseas, it doesn't work that way. You want to visit someone, you need to have an appointment. You can't just visit me because I'm your brother, no? But we are not wired that way. So it's easier to be homeless over there. And of course, most of the homes they own or the property is a mortgage. For the most part, American people, you can bear me witness, those of you that are watching online now, it's a mortgage. You pay overtime, 25 years, 30 years. It's not a bad arrangement, but you must have a job. So the day you lose your job, red flag. That's why I can't preach long messages when I go abroad. It's short. Because they're looking at time. They have to go to work. But here, I need to cook you. Cook you. You see, some of you are sweating now, like I'm sweating. We are going through cooking, cooking. Cooking. One young man wrote it on I think on Twitter. Paulo Ricci sent me a screenshot.
They were having some conversation, I think, from the Wolfbeck that they just had. The guy goes to one of the churches in Lagos, and he referred to the Stone Church. He was a member of the Expression House. He said, man, they cooked us in that church, no cap. They cooked us. Yeah, that's what we do here. We cook you and export you to the world. Go and do exploits. Amen? Promotion comes from God. When you are godly and you are content, you will be promoted. There are certain virtues, however, that get God's attention. Listen to me. As a searchlight beams on our heart, God always looks at the heart. God is always looking at the heart of everyone. And there are certain virtues God is looking for. When he's looking at your heart, you see, sometimes some of your actions may not even be right. And people may judge you based on your actions. But God judges our motives faster than our actions. There are some times that you make mistakes with your action and you didn't mean it. But God looks at your heart. There are times you do good actions, but God also looks at your heart. Good actions, but wrong motive. You know, you can give people money because you want to be known. You want to be a philanthropist. You want to be popular. You want to win their vote. You don't give them because you love them. Do politicians love us? When they give people bags of rice, just 1 month to election. What have you been doing the last 4 years? People have been dying of hunger. You see, when they want to renew their being in office now, you see what will happen in 2027. They will package Gary and Kuli Kuli and sugar. I don't know the English for Kuli Kuli, but Kuli Kuli is the kind of snack in Nigeria. Amen. They will package rice and indomie, noodles. They will package money. That's to feed for the next 4 years again. Good action, isn't it? At least you give somebody something to eat, maybe for one night or for 1 week. Good action. But is the motive right? Come on, talk to me. Is the motive right? Those of you that are going to be future politicians, Nkoyo and the rest of you, listen very clearly. When you go to office, do everything like every day you are representing Christ. Be a blessing to people, not because you want their vote. Heaven records that. This is not to say all politicians in Nigeria are bad. There are some good people in politics. Some good people, very few, but some good people. Before they came into office, they had been paying people's GC, JAM exams and all of that. They've been helping, just naturally, just enjoying helping people. Some were doing it because they wanted the vote of the people. When they got into office, they stopped. And they didn't remember the people until they wanted to renew office after another 4 years. Be a good ambassador of Christ. Are you with me? Promotion comes from God. So I said that to say, God is always looking at the heart. Go to 1 Samuel 16:7. 1 Samuel, media, you need to be fast. I have a lot of scriptures here. 1 Samuel 16:7. Let's see what God said. Everybody, let's read. One, two, go. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Why, Lord? For the Lord seeth not. He doesn't see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? On the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. 1 Chronicles 28:9. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Quickly, 1 Chronicles 28:9. Let's read, everybody. These were the words of David to Solomon. David was on his dying bed as an old man. He was advising his son that would take over from him the rulership and the leadership of Israel. He said to him, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with the perfect what? Come on, talk to me, church. Perfect what? Heart. And with the willing what? Mind. For the Lord searches where? How many hearts? Does that include your heart? Does that include my heart? The Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, it will be found of thee. But I warn you, my son, if you forsake him, it will cast you off for 1 year forever. The Lord can be like that. David had had an experience, and so he was talking to his inexperienced son. You are just coming up, young man. I know you have the tendencies, some of the tendencies that I had, some of my weaknesses. David was a fine man, really fine. If you go back to that 1 Samuel, the earlier verses, when the man of God came, Samuel, to anoint the next king of Israel, and went to the house of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. He brought out all the big brothers. The Lord said, no, no, no. Then he brought out David. David was in the sheepfold. He was taking care of the father's sheep. The Bible says that when he came, he was looking very handsome. He was ruddy. And the Bible says, good to look at. If the Bible says good to look at, it must be good to look at. The same God that said, I don't look at the countenance, described David as being good to look at. So even though God is looking at the heart, take care of your body. Amen? Take care of your outward appearance. Be clean. Be neat. Shave your beards. Shape them if you want to keep them in shape. Don't let everything just look tardy and all shaggy. Don't look like you're from the prison. Look good. You can have beards. I don't mind. Some of us don't have. We prayed for it. It didn't come. Glory be to God. We put kerosene, petrol. It didn't grow. So we're not envious of you. But keep it clean. It can be clean. Such that those of us who don't have, want to have. And if you're like me with a smooth skin, keep it smooth. Cut your hair. Put on some deodorant, some perfume. Don't lift up holy hands in church and the person next to you say, oh my God, where's this odor coming from? Let's be clean, male and female. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't wear one boxers for 1 week. God is looking at the heart, but he's also considering the body. Go to the next scripture. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. Please. Are you getting my point? That God is looking at everybody's heart? Are you getting my point? Okay. Now, you never know. God is looking for something. There is something in your heart that will engineer your promotion. Your heart. There is something there that God is looking for. That's why we must pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. To condition our heart in such a way that it will be attractive to God. And God says, boom, that's the guy. For the eyes of the Lord, let's read this, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Is that right? Does that include Nigeria? Throughout the whole earth. Does that include Singapore? To show himself strong. Why is he looking through the whole earth, to and fro? Because he wants to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Another translation says, those whose hearts are loyal to him. Is your heart loyal to the Lord? God is looking for loyalty. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. Quickly, Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. I, the Lord, search where? And examine what? I try the reins. That's the mind. Even to give every man according to what? And according to what? The fruit of his doings. Your doings are seeds. Everything you do is a seed. God wants to give you the fruit of your seed. A man sows a seed into a woman. It is called spermatozoa. Nobody's less than 18 here. Sperm is a seed. The egg of the woman is a seed. When a man sows the seed, God says, I will give you the fruit of your doings. The fruit of your doings is a child. It's called the fruit of the womb. A baby is not called the seed of the womb. A baby, a child, is called the fruit of the womb. Are you getting what I'm saying? God said, I'm going to give every man according to the fruit of his doings. Go to Jeremiah 20 and verse 12. Jeremiah 20 and verse 12. I search the heart. I search the heart. Jeremiah 20:12. Let's read this together. One, two, go. That triest the righteous and seest the reins. That's the mind and the heart. Let me see your vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. He said, thou, O Lord, who tries the righteous, who sees the mind and the heart. Does God see your heart right now? Jeremiah 30 and verse 21. Jeremiah 30 and verse 21. Quickly, 30 verse 21. and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? God is looking. Who is this guy that has engaged his heart? You can be serving God, but your heart is not engaged. You are doing it because of his olenu. They would say, I'm not serving. Let me just serve. God does not accept. Listen to me. God does not accept nonsense. When that guy sang a song, in your presence anything goes, that's a lie. Juxtapose it with the scripture. Who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me? You now say you approach unto God, anything goes. Not anything goes. God doesn't eat nonsense. Do you eat nonsense? Can you give your father nonsense? Daddy, that's the best I can cook. That's the best. The beans is half done. Rice, burnt. But I've scraped the bottom of the pot. Should be like bottom pot. And the plate I'm going to use to serve you is broken. I was bringing it from the kitchen. As I put in the dish, the thing, dishwasher, it fell down. Broke. Use half plate. Sorry, daddy. Manage it. Mommy's not at home. I'm the only one at home. This is the best I can do. Can you give your father that? Talk to me, church. That day I went out to buy. You said you wanted bread. I didn't see any fresh bread. The bread I saw, they made it last week. It's growing mucus already. We'll just peel off the mucus and eat. It's the content that is important. Can you give your father that? How do you think you cannot give the Almighty God anything? So to lead praise worship, to lead prayer, to protocol, to MC, you prepare. You engage your heart. Acts 15, 7 to 9. Does God search the heart? Acts 15, 7 to 9. Acts 15, 7 to 9. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts. How does he know the heart? Because he searches the heart. Bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Peter said, God sees the heart. God knows the heart. Romans 8:27. Quickly. Romans 8:27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Who is he that searcheth the heart? Am I in church? Are you tired? Maybe we share the grace and go home. Are you tired? Who searches the heart? Right, Revelation 2, 18 to 25. I don't have time to read that. It's so much, so long. Revelation 2, 18 to 25. Write it down. When God searches your heart, what does he find there? That's my question to you now. If God searches my heart this morning, what does he find there? Some of us need to make heart adjustments. That's why your promotion has not yet come. You're working hard. You're working smart. Check your heart. What does God find there? Truth or lies? Some people, there's no truth at all in their heart. Lie. Faith or fear? When God searches your heart, what does he find? Faith or fear? Love or hate? You even hate your church members. Hate your family members. Godliness with contentment or worldliness with unhealthy competition and rivalry? What does God find in your heart? Today, people are engaging in unhealthy competition, even in the church. A brother brought Toyota Camry 2020. Father, in the name of Jesus, my own Toyota Camry must not be less than 2025. I'm not his mate. If you did for him, you can do more for me. That becomes a prayer point. And you think God is interested in your Toyota Camry? Let me give you one example of promotion. Joseph. We talk a lot about the favor of God in Joseph's life. But we talk little about the godliness with contentment that was in him before the favor manifested. Genesis 39, verse 9. quickly. Genesis 39 verse 9. Genesis 39 verse 9. Let's read. What did Joseph say to Mrs. Potiphar? He said, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me. So I'm satisfied with what I have. But you, why? Because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph was satisfied with being in charge of the house. He said, "My master has not kept anything back from me, but he has kept you back from me because you are his property. You are his wife. I'm content with every other thing I'm doing, but not with you." Somebody say contentment. Say contentment. Where did godliness come in? He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? If I sleep with you, ma, we will both enjoy it. And I'm a young man. I last in bed. I will last, I believe. But sir, ma, is a sin, a great wickedness against the God that I serve. I'm in Egypt, but I'm not an Egyptian. I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are my patriarchs, my forefathers. The God they introduced to me is not the God of sleeping with someone else's wife." Are you getting what I'm saying? Young men, be careful. There are many sugar mummies out there today who are looking for young men whose lives they want to destroy. Stolen bread is sweet. Stolen water is sweet. I can tell you that. Stolen sex is sweet, but it's a sweet, bitter experience. It will be sweet in your mouth when you are doing it, but it will bring a bitter experience later in life. Young ladies, stop sleeping with married men. Leave them alone with their family problems. They tell you their problem with their wife. Oga, go and sort yourself out with your wife. I am not your wife, sir. If they take you to the hotel and you go with them, they give you money, they sleep with you, you will enjoy it too. As long as it lasts. But a time is coming, you will regret it. And let me warn you, I just got this information. Like some of you are also very current. You know Donald Trump, the U.S. president, has withdrawn his support for HIV drugs coming to Africa. So now to get antiretroviral drugs, one pack, they said somebody gave an analysis. My wife was telling me that it cost about $3 million per month. So I don't know how much money you have, oh, but this church will not contribute money for you to buy antiretroviral. So keep your equipment clean. Zip up. Amen? Everybody's talking now. Amen? No, it's not me. It's Donald Trump. He said it. I'm only announcing. Because as of last month, they were still getting it for free. I've seen the drugs before. I know a couple of people that are dealing with HIV. I'm praying for them. Now, I'm pitying them. Because after prayer, there's not much I can do. I cannot come and go and get $3 million and give you for 1 month. Even if it's for 1 year, I have to take care of my wife, my children first. Then think of Expression House. Then before I now think of someone else. HIV is not spread by mosquito bites. Thank God. If a mosquito bites someone that is HIV positive, it will not live to bite another person. That thing it has carried, that virus will kill him. It has eaten something too much for him. You see, God is merciful. If mosquito can spread that thing, God knows how to preserve his own. But let me also tell you, godliness with contentment, blessing number two, will preserve you. Preservation. Somebody write preservation. Number one, promotion. Number two, preservation. Preservation. It will preserve you. It will preserve you. You will not have some unnecessary sicknesses and diseases. Godliness will preserve you. It will preserve you. It's not only HIV, there's also HPV, human papillomavirus. There's some of them that somehow they are connected to illicit sex. Illicit is another word for illegal. Illegal. Ogu, gugu, ogu. Hey! In Daniel chapter 6, we're not going to read it.
verses 16 to 20, because I want to finish today. Verses 16 to 28. You know the story. They took Daniel. Why? Because he was a godly man. He was praying to God. And his enemies didn't like that. So they went to incite the king against him, knowing that the king loved him. The king now made a decree, foolishly. Anybody that asks anything from any other god for the next 30 days, if you do it, we will throw you in the lion's den. They made the king, they manipulated him to make that decree and to seal it with his ring. It is the law of the Medes and the Persians. The moment it is sealed, it cannot be changed. So king foolishly signed it. 30 days. Nobody should ask anything. If you want anything, you want bread, you want water, you want food, you want to have sex with your wife, come and ask the king. The king will grant it. Daniel said, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light I see light. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my God. I've sworn my allegiance to him. I will not ask any man anything." Daniel went home. That day, they announced the decree. Daniel was in the government. I pray in the name of Jesus, God will strategically position some of you in government. Some of you in your business, God will put you as decision makers in the name of Jesus. Daniel went home that day. If I were Daniel, to be honest, lion's den. Ask the king, be free. Don't ask the king, ask God, lion's den. 1 month. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you're a good God. For the next 1 month, please excuse me. I'll be talking to you in my heart. So after 1 month, Lord will resume. God will understand. Hey, God will understand. Not Daniel. Daniel was sold out to God. He said, me? I will not bow down before Yahweh and bow down before another God. A man like me, because he's king? Throw me in that lion's den. He went home. He opened his window towards Jerusalem. And the enemies were watching. Oh, Lugo. How do you say Lugo in English? They look God, right? They were watching. We shall see. We shall see. They followed him as he went home. Daniel got to his house. Hello, who is at home? God bless you. God bless you in the name of Yahweh. Yahweh, you are blessed. He bless his family. Bless everybody at home. And the Bible says, as his custom was, he had a custom of prayer. He opened, God bless you. He opened his window towards Jerusalem. He knelt down. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of my fathers, I honor you. I honor you. I bless you forever. You are my God. You are my God. You are my source. It is from you. Every blessing flows into my life. I'm an exile here. I am not a citizen of this country, but you have lifted me. I bless you forever. They brought out their camera phones and were recording. They had a way of recording back in those days. They brought out their black and white camera. The type that you whine very well. Then you close one eye. Photographers in those days only needed one eye. Today you need the two eyes, but back in the one, just one. They took pictures. They documented it. They took it to the king. Live long, go king! Say, yeah, live long. We have found somebody who violated the law. What? And he shall be thrown in the lion's den. Yes! Yes! Lion's den! Who is the person? They said Daniel. His heart broke. Daniel was his beloved. Daniel was his trusted ally. He was not a Jew man. He didn't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he knew Daniel was serving a particular God. And he loved the God Daniel was serving. May you represent Jesus. In your school, in your place of work, in your place of business, may you represent Jesus. Amen. The commandment had gone forth. He could not change his words. He could not retract his words. He commanded, they threw Daniel in the lion's den. Boom, he landed there. The Bible says that night, the king fasted. I love fasting. I encourage you to embrace it. He fasted all night. Early in the morning, the next day, he ran to the lion's den. The mouth of the den. He ran. Because there was a designated place outside town where they kept the lions. You don't keep them in town? If they get angry and they enter town, no life is safe. Imagine the king traveling at the crack of the dawn. He didn't sleep. 4 a.m. He was on the road with his entourage going to visit Daniel. He got to the mouth of the den. You can put that on the screen for me. Oh, Daniel! He cried with a lamentable voice, the voice of lamentation, unto Daniel and said, and spake and said to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. I'm having goosebumps with those words. Can someone look at you and say, child of the living God? Servant of the living God is thy God whom thou servest continually. Because I can testify, able to deliver thee from the light. Nigerian politicians will go to Dubai and buy estates. They buy estates. One of them, his son died like a chicken on the street of Dubai. Just young man fell down and died on the street. On the street, no decent burial. Just died on the street like a chicken. The man stole his state blind when he was governor. He stole his state blind. One of the states in Nigeria. Go and look at some of their videos. Some of those wicked men today are confined to wheelchair. They have become vegetable. They can't even wear Gucci shoes anymore. After chasing all the millions and billions, we are not, nobody is stealing millions again in Nigeria. Billions, trillions. Let them hear this message if it gets to them. It will end up in sorrow. Because all those children that you denied education in the rural areas, all those villagers you denied water, ordinary potable water, their head, their God will ask you. Nigerians form NGO, they collect grants from overseas. Instead of feeding the poor, as they have said in their manifesto, then they divert the money to buy land and buy luxury cars, and they are living large. When they're going to give anything out, just a little. Then they bring all the media houses, media coverage. So much noise. Why are we like this? A people of no integrity. Is it because of what we want to eat and what we want to drink and what we want to wear and what we want to drive? Godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, therefore, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Can you eat one cow? Can only you eat one cow? Shame on you if you can't finish one cow. Maybe you can afford it. You have stolen money from the constituency. They've stolen money from the local government. They've stolen money from the state post. They've stolen money from federal. The way they have stolen money from this country, sometimes you'll be afraid. Is this country still existing? One man, 80 billion. Another 110 billion. 110 billion. What's our population? Are we up to 1 billion? Somebody has stolen 110 billion. We are stolen to the future. Our national debt keeps increasing every time. In trillions. And it has not translated to anything good for the common man. They take the loan from overseas, they spend it. They take it, they share it. Including the last one that called himself Mr. Integrity. Integrity, my foot. Kidnapping was on the increase, now became an industry. They weaponized it. Wicked men! We shall see their end in this country. Don't be like them. That's why I'm charging you. You are the next generation. Don't be like them. Go after God. If 1 million comes to your purse and God says this is what the 1 million is for, please use it for that purpose. We have given foodstuff in this church before. Normally, we just do such things as we are led by God and as we have little money to do it. I was in a meeting where a doctor was speaking about what happened in our church. I opened my mouth. I could not close it. I was shocked. She mentioned our church. She pointed at me. Said, probably this Pastor Fred does not even know what I'm about to say. What, ma? What did we do? Say, you gave her food. And two girls were in this church, sisters. Each of them got a pack. That week, they had nothing to eat at home as a family. So for 2 weeks, As they finished one pack, they went to the other pack until God provided. Tears came to my eyes like this. Our little effort. How much do we have? How much? Today, people are sitting on billions and people are dying of hunger around them. People can afford malaria medicine and your politicians are driving around in bulletproof cars. The judgment of Nigeria is reserved for a special day before God. Don't join them. Don't join them. Don't join. Are you listening to me? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Those of you that are called to the ministry, don't join pastors who are using their church account for money laundering. And they call it prosperity. You don't know their prosperity. You see them in suits every time, Gucci, Bugwe. That's the only thing they have. Just showing vanity upon vanity. Oyinbos are wiser than us. They make all the fancy cars, they ride bicycle. Idiots, buy the car. We collect your money. Oh yeah, make another toy for them. Create another toy. It's 2025. Create another toy. They push to the market. Black man will steal everybody, steal from his village, steal from everywhere. Buy the car. Oyinbo that made the car, he collect the money, put it in his pocket. He's riding bicycle in Sweden, all over the streets of Sweden, Copenhagen. They make all designer clothes. They wear no label. Number three, benefit of godliness with contempt. Are you with me, church? Let me stop at number three. I wanted to tell you how, but maybe how will be another time. Provision. 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 Godliness with contentment. One, it will bring what? Promotion. Two, what? Preservation. Three, what? Provision. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the way of the scornful. In the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, sir. His leaves shall not wither. Huh? And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Don't be like the ungodly. They are not so. What are they like? They are like the chaff before the wind, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Don't go the way that we perish. Are you with me? Your provision shall be sure. Can I have an amen? According to Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. You may be poor today. It's only a matter of time and faith. You are going to be rich. Can I have an amen? Amen. Be godly, be content. Be godly, be content. Be thankful for what you have. Dupe tie. Be thankful for the gari and groundnut you are soaking. Some are never grateful. Never. Never. Even when God promotes them from garri to chicken, they still complain. Why is it not grilled? The people that are eating grilled chicken, do they have two heads? Why would God just give me plain chicken? If I were God. Thank God I'm not God. The way I will slap some people from heaven. I will slap off their, not their wig, their head. One call the body and fall us all on the fear. Complain about everything. Never grateful for anything. Jeremiah 17, 5 to 8. Let's read that very quickly. Very quickly. Jeremiah 17, 5 to 8. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Next verse. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. Somebody say, that is not me. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Somebody said, that will never be my portion. Next verse. Blessed is the man, say that is me, that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. Say that is me. But her leaf shall be green
and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You will not cease from yielding fruit in Jesus' name. Isaiah 33, 14 to 17. One of my favorite scriptures. I want to give you for free today. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness are surprised. The hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. One face in church, another face outside church. Don't be like that. He said, fearfulness has surprised them. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting bonnets? Next verse. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions. Can you see that? He despises the gain of oppressions. The gain of scamming, scammers. Despising the gain of oppression. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That shaketh his hands from holding of bribes. That stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood. And shutteth his eyes from watching pornography. From seeing evil. Huh? He shall dwell on high. Say amen. Amen. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Say amen. Amen. Bread shall be given him. Say amen. Amen. And his water shall be sure. Say amen. Amen. Bread shall be given you. Amen. And your water shall be sure. Amen. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Say amen. And they shall behold the land that is very far off. Say amen. Amen. The land that is very far off. He said, your land, your eyes will behold it. That was where my traveling abroad started from that scripture. My eyes will behold the land far off. You will get there. Godliness with contentment is great gain. How can I live a godly and contented life? 3 points I'll just mention. Number one, be grateful for whatever you have. Be grateful for whatever you have. 1 Timothy 6:8, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always to God for all things. Be grateful, be grateful. Number two, exercise yourself unto godliness. Be disciplined. Train yourself. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself to godliness. It is not easy. You have to train yourself. If you want to build muscle, you go to gym and train. Peter Cash, how easy is it to train? You break a sweat. Not be so. Somebody comes to gym, did not break a sweat. I didn't know, Barry, when you were going to gym, did you sweat or not? I saw some of your gym videos. You break a sweat. Train yourself. Don't say it's my weakness. When a man tells me I'm beautiful like this, it just gets in my head. Are you stupid? You have not convinced yourself enough that you are beautiful, that you don't need the validation of another man. What if a man says you are ugly? You start crying. I've told my son before how I escaped being bullied in secondary school. Most of my friends were very tall. Tall guys. 6-footers. Why are you so short? And it got to me, man. Until God gave me the wisdom. One day I went to we were going home. Mokola boys from school. SMD. Short man devil. Anybody short in our school was an SMD. So I said to them, I said, well, you know, the Bible said that God made me in his image and likeness. I said, see this level of my height. That's where wisdom stops. Those who mistakenly grew taller than me, I'm not surprised they have left the wisdom level, so they cannot be wise. They will forever be foolish because it's impossible to reverse their height to wisdom level. I said, this is wisdom level. They could not argue with me that day. It was as if I put something in my mouth. Well, instead of normal, good night, they, one went like this, the other went like this. They didn't say good night. I laughed. I got the keys. Why are you so short? Why are you so tall? In fact, you're not tall, you're long. Why are you so long? You want me to feel bad about my height? I will make you feel bad about yours. Exercise. Convince yourself you are loved of God. You don't need the validation of any man. Nobody will give you a platform. Take it by yourself. You are not qualified. I am qualified by the grace of God. Nobody is better qualified than me in this organization. Employ me and
and retaining me here will bring profitability to this organization by 80%. Let's do you have a graph? Do you have any records? They say, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. Yes, convince them. But when you are not convinced, you can't convince another person. Why should we give you this visa to go to the U.S.? You need to give me the visa because I really want to travel. And it will be a nice opportunity for me to see the world. You are not convincing. I will add value to your country. Anybody I meet there, I know what I carry. I talk to them, I add value. People that want to commit suicide, by the time they listen to me, they will change their minds. And say something as led by the Holy Ghost. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you go for that job interview, say something. Convince them you are the best too. The lion may not actually be the strongest animal in terms of physical strength. Biology and maybe zoology can prove that. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the Bible says the lion is the strongest. Proverbs 30, verses 29 to 30. Why? It's because of the belief system of the lion. The lion believes he's the strongest. I am the king of the jungle. Who crowned you king? I crowned myself. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you're not the biggest. I say I'm the king. It's not by height. It has never been by height. Small David, mighty Goliath. Today, I will kill you. I see lunch. You are lunch for me. Amy, lunch. And he became lunch. Because the boy told him, you are lunch. He became lunch. Others saw a man too big to handle. David saw a man too big to miss. Fear. And the guy fell down. Convince yourself from the word of God. Are you loved? Are you blessed? Are you highly favored? Are you anointed? Are you marvelously helped by God? Go in that strength. It's part of your training. Train yourself. If you want an exam, I feel, will I pass again? I will pass again. Go again. Isaac dug again. He dug a well. They filled it up with sand. The Philistine. He dug another one. They filled it up. Until he dug one that brought water and didn't strive with them anymore. And he called that place Rehoboth. The Lord has made room for us. In this country and anywhere you are, God will make room for you. Never be part of those who say, that organization, they don't employ people that have only first degree or only 2-1 or 2-2. It's only first class. Apply. If you want a job, they apply. I said apply. Number 3, how do you walk in godliness and contentment? Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14-16, Galatians 5:24-25. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed? Go and listen to the message again. Godliness with contentment is great gain. This year will be a year of great gain for you. For us as a church, it will be a year of great gain in the name of Jesus. 2 people said amen.